the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter number 2. Well, I think that summer is over. What do you think? And thankful for it, you know, seasons. The time that seasons change is a good reminder to us, that God wants to see us do some things for Him. Might be in a time of transition or change yourself. Boy, nowadays when you use the word transition, you got to define that, don't you? Transition simply meaning from one place in life to another place or another opportunity that God brings along. So we're going to read about something of that in a life of Moses. Verse number 16 in Exodus chapter 2 is where we want to read. Verses 16 to verse 22, and then look to chapter 3 and verse number 1. If you are able, would you stand with me and we'll read those verses responsively. I'll read verse 16, you read verse 17 back and forth, verse 22, and then we'll jump to chapter 3 and verse number 1. I'll begin verse number 16, verse 22, then to verse number 1 of 3. Here we go. Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock.
And the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock.
And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, "How is it that ye are come so soon today?" And he said unto his daughters, "And where is he? Why is it that ye have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread."
And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter.
Now will you join me on verse number 1 of chapter 3? Let's read that together, please. Let's begin. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Bible says Moses, and this is, he's a man now. It begins in chapter 1, the story of Moses when he was born, what was going on with Israel. As you know, they were in slavery to Egypt. He had, in chapter number 2, he'd become a man, and he slew a man. He slew an Egyptian. And fled because the Bible says Pharaoh sought to slay him, sought to kill him. And he found his way to this place in chapter number 1, chapter number 3 calls it the backside of the desert. There's the desert, and then there's the backside of the desert. And it sounds like it's, you can't get any farther away from anything else than this place. The idea is that he was in basically a stagnant place, an empty place, a forsaken place, the desert. We have a very large desert in California, in America. It's called Death Valley. How many of you have ever driven through Death Valley? When I was a young person, I think I was about 11 or 12 years old, we drove through Death Valley. I had some family on the West Coast and driving from Utah. We had to go through Death Valley to get to where we were going. And I remember seeing this sign. Now Death Valley, here, let me give you some thoughts on it. First of all, it was given that name by various survivors of wagon trains that crossed the plains during the gold rush, specifically of 1849. The valley itself lies 276 feet below sea level. It is the lowest spot in the United States, and it covers 5,262 square miles. Drifting sand dunes, lifeless conditions. Temperatures can reach 134 degrees in the shade. That's on a regular day in the summer, I guess. I was going to look at, see what it was today. I didn't have a moment to do that. But I recall as a kid driving through there, and there was a big sign. Maybe some of you have driven through it and know this, what I'm talking about. There was a big sign that says, "Do not turn on your air conditioning." How many know what I'm talking about? When you drive through this valley, somehow the heat and the lack of humidity could damage the air conditioner. And I remember my mom saying, "No, we're going to use our air conditioner." and it worked fine. But in the midst of all the lifelessness is a large river that runs from one end of the valley to the other underneath the surface. It's called the Amargosa River, and it flows year-round from summer to winter to fall all through the year. There's also springs that come out through various spots that have been discovered in the area. And there's, of course, cacti, the barrel cacti, which have some life-giving water that travelers would use in the past to survive. This was a place where Moses was. He was in a place of stagnation. Nothing was going forward. Nothing was going back. And the Bible says that he was content to live there with his new wife and family, etc. But God had different plans. God had different plans. I'd like to share with you this morning, the Bible reveals God's instruction in the backside of the desert. I'm not sure where all of us are at in our walk with the Lord or what plans are on the list, but this is a place that God challenged Moses. He met with him as Moses went to the mountain, and God began to show him, listen, I've got plans for you. Are you willing to follow me? I'd like to share with you God's instruction in the backside of the desert. God's instruction in the backside of the desert. Would you bow with me? We'll ask God to help us as we look into his word after that. Lord, we thank you and we love you. We thank you, God, that you are always available, and we ask for your help today. When we look in the scriptures, Lord, there's some real things going on in our lives. We need your direction. We need your voice. We know you are giving it. Help us, Lord, to have ears to hear. As Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And that our heart would be open to respond, dear Lord. May you get the glory through things that are needed here today. Perhaps one needs Christ as Savior that's listening, either here or online. Father, I pray this would be the day of salvation in the heart of one or more. Lord, as a Christian, we need your grace and mercy, Lord. We think so highly of ourselves, we need to see ourselves the way you do, so that you have something to work with, something to mold. We pray we'd be broken before you, Father, if that's the need, and whatever you share, that we would respond. May you get the glory through all things, dear Lord, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God's instruction in the backside of the desert. Let's take a look here. Verse number 16 again. Verse number 16, chapter number 2. Again, it says this. Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. If you skip down to verse 21, we see what happens after Moses meets with them. And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter, and she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom, for he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. First thing I see here as we look in this chapter, in this passage, God's instruction. Number one, a new family can be found in the desert. In that time of transition, that time of stagnation, God can reach down and give a new family. Here the Bible tells us that this new family was really looking for help, was looking for somebody to be a part of their family. And God says he wants you and I to be a part of his family. A new family brings new love. As Moses was there, he was a man on the run. He was a fugitive. Nothing is said about how much he revealed about his background, but certainly they found out later, this guy is somebody important, and maybe we're not going to be having him around, but the Bible tells us very clearly they felt open enough to have him in the family. Do you know, God can save anybody. God can save anybody. And I got to tell you, and I've said this till you're probably tired of hearing it. If God could save my dad, he could save anybody. And I used to say, wow, he was the worst. But then I start looking at my own heart and mind. And though I didn't commit things that he did, God saved me. And he saved you. And he can save you if that's the need. There's a new family that brings a new love if you receive Christ. Are you a member of God's family? Maybe this is the time God's shown you, and he's telling you this is the time. As the seasons change, why don't you change and be added to the family of God? Would you turn with me to John chapter 1? John chapter 1. Let's see what Jesus had to say about it. I should say the apostle John. He's speaking of Jesus here. Verse number 9 in John chapter 1 says this. That was the true light. The word light there in my Bible is capitalized. How about yours? Yeah, that's referring to Jesus Christ, to divinity, and to Jesus specifically. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own. He came unto the Jewish nation, and his own received him not. They rejected him as a whole. But as many, anybody else, anybody, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become what? The sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Are you a member of God's family? You got to receive Christ to be a part of God's family. That's clear in the Word of God, not just here, but other Gospels, as well as the rest of the New Testament says, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and the family of God awaits an addition in them through you, if that's the need. We're looking forward, as I mentioned, to a new member of the family, in the McCouncewoods family. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about it. I hope you are too, because he's going to be here. He's not going anywhere else. So pray that all that continues health-wise. Everything's looking good. And we're excited about that. And I'm still working on his name, you know. Now, Mom and Dad have his name already picked out. But I'm working on something for him then, so. But we're excited because we are anticipating new life. Amen? New life. Did you know God knew us? The Bible says that David says that God knew him in his mother's womb. Wow. And of course, being God, he knew us long before that. But that is a relationship that God wants with every person, everyone, to be a part of his family. But in order to do that, you must make the decision to choose Jesus Christ and believe on what he did on the cross to pay for your sin, all sin, mine too, and that he can save you today. That's the part of being God's family. A new family not only brings new life, but also brings new joy. Let's take back, look at verse 22. Verse 22, and here we see this. And she bare him a son, and called his name Gershom, for he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. Again, that new child God used to bring some joy to a life that Moses up to this point wasn't very joyful, was it? he grew up in Pharaoh's court, so he knew a lot of things that he enjoyed a lot of things that is his family back in the slavery area did not know. But now being on the run, he had a different perspective on life, and God brought him joy in his life. A new family brings new joy. An angry newspaper subscriber had been mistakenly put in the obituaries. He stormed into the reporter's office and demanded an apology. The reporter said, I never write retractions, but what I will do tomorrow is list you in the birth column and give you a brand new start. Hey, praise the Lord. With Christ, you can get a brand new start. Amen. In Christ, new family, new joy, and a new family brings a new hope. We did not read these verses. Let's look at them. Verse 23, 24, 25. Take a look. I'll read for us. The Bible says, and it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. They had a new hope that God was about to bring to them. Now, this new hope was going to take some time. And they were going to go through some things that they otherwise would not do if they chose on their own. But God in his wisdom brought them to a place where they had hope. Hope. You know, we have a hope for eternity. Amen? Amen. If you know Christ, you have a hope for eternity. The everlasting Savior. We sung about it this morning. The everlasting arms. Those are real arms. Did you know that? They're real arms. Jesus has real arms today, and he wants to wrap them around you in this time. It needs so little sympathy to cheer a weary way. Sometimes a little kindness lights up a dreary day. A very simple, friendly word may hope and strength impart, or just an understanding smile revive some fainting heart. And like a sudden sunlit ray lighting a darkened room, a sunny spirit may beguile the deepest depths of gloom. Somebody's in need of your help today, your help to hear about what Jesus can do in their life. I'm so thankful for that special, weren't you? Sherry, you did an amazing job. That was a blessing. That was a blessing. That lifted us up simply because you shared about the Lord Jesus. God wants to use you and me to help others find that a new family can be found in this time. Could be a time of transition. Could be a time of just nothing's moving. It's an apathetic time. It's a stagnant place. Could be a time of trials. And considering what to do through them, God wants you and I to not just to know that He's available, but to use us to be available to someone too. A new family can be found. Number two, let's go back. Exodus, let's go to chapter 3 now. Follow along if you would, please, verse number 1. And I'm going to read for us down to verse number 6. Verse 1 to 6. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Let me share number two here as we consider the backside of the desert, what God's instructions can be. Number two, we can find a revived faith that can be found in the desert. A revived faith can be found in the desert. Praise the Lord. If you're a child of His, you're part of the family of God, you received Christ, glory to God. But if you're a Christian, you've been a Christian at any time, like say 5 minutes, you know that the joy can be easily fade, can easily be attacked, can easily be drawn away by the cares of earth or cares of our life and so forth. And God says He wants you and me to be close to Him. Revived faith, a faith that not that we have need more faith to be saved. You only accept Christ once, amen. But as a Christian, God says, I want to fill you. I want to give you a renewed and revived desire to live and live for me. The desert, Bible tells us, a revived faith can be found. And here's a thought I want to share with you as we go through these verses. Verse number one tells us that the desert removes distraction from pursuers. The desert can remove distraction from pursuers. Moses kept the flock of Jethro, father-in-law the priest, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God. This would later become called this area, Mount Sinai. Moses would lead the people back there to worship God. And it was in this same area that Mount Horeb would have been. Most believe it's in the Sinai, somewhere in the Sinai Peninsula. There's no definitive spot that is with us today, although the Egyptians believe that it's in their country. So if you want to go visit it, you can pay them tourist money to go see it. But a revived faith can be found. The desert removes distractions. Verse 15, if you look in chapter number 2, again, here's what the Bible says in chapter 2, verse 15. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Fleeing problems is not always the answer, but sometimes the pursuers need to be fled from. In fact, God tells us to flee youthful lusts in the New Testament, desires that try to draw us away from God. The desert removes distractions. So when a time of apathy and a time of challenge or a time of transition comes, don't necessarily push it aside and say, no, I got to get busy and do something. Let God speak to you. Let God show you. Hey, this is a time where distractions can be set aside, and I want to get a hold of you and your heart with my voice. If you look in verse number 2 in chapter 3, verse 2, 3, and 4 again, please. Here's what it says. Angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. Verse 3, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. The desert replenishes the weary soul. The desert replenishes the weary soul. Verse 4 says that the Lord began to speak. God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. I believe this was an audible voice. This wasn't a voice he heard in his head or thought up. It was God's voice himself that spoke to Moses. And he responded. Can I ask you this question? Have you taken time to put all the distractions aside and just let God speak to you? You can do it every day, at a time of every day, but perhaps there's a time you need to spend with a little bit longer in the desert so that God has all of our attention. Would you turn with me to Mark chapter 6? Mark chapter 6. Jesus and his disciples found themselves in a desert place, and yet it was a place where God worked mightily. Jesus shared a tremendous miracle that we speak of even today. Mark chapter 6, take a look at verse number 30 and 31. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. This is when Jesus had sent out his disciples by twos on their mission trip. Verse 31 says, and he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place, and what? Rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. The desert replenishes the weary soul. Now, you can't do this for long. Life continues. You need to get back to things. But would you consider a time that God could speak to your soul, to replenish your soul? Their time was to be with Jesus. Their time was to speak about what happened and hear what Jesus had to respond about it is. And God wants you and I to consider, maybe I just simply need to get with him and ask his help and share the hour of prayer. Have you ever prayed for an hour? You know what? If you're not willing to get down on your knees or wherever it is you're going to be, the position is not the most important. But if you're not willing to say, I'm going to be here as long as it takes, Lord. I asked someone, how do you pray for an hour? He said, you keep praying when you don't want to. And then pretty soon the hour comes and now you don't want to stop. Because God continues to open your mind and heart to him. Give him time. The desert replenishes the weary soul. The desert, if we go back to Exodus chapter 3, recalls God's instruction, recalls what God has done already. And he said, verse 5, draw nigh hither, not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, and the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. This was the God that the Israelites had claimed was their God for hundreds of years. And yet here they were finally calling out to him and saying, would you please bring us back to you? Now the voice of God was able to be heard. The desert recalls God's instruction. The Israelites, the Bible tells us that in many times in the desert, that is where we see God do his greatest work. Remember the Israelites, they received manna in the desert. John chapter 16 says, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Again in the desert, when Jesus was with his disciples, he fed 5,000 in the desert. Luke chapter 9, verse number 12 and 13, we are here in a desert place, but he said unto them, give ye them to eat. Remember in Acts chapter 8, let's go there, Acts chapter 8, we read about another desert place that God moved in the heart of somebody specific. Acts chapter 8, verse number 26. Chapter 8 holds a story about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Starting in verse number 5 and following, the Bible tells us that Philip was given a particular ministry the Holy Spirit led him to, and he helped many people turn to Christ. And the Bible tells us in the city of Samaria, he worked mightily. Then as he was finished with that particular job, I guess, the task was done. For that time, God began to move, and the Holy Spirit led him out to a different place. Look at verse number 26, and he met up with an Ethiopian eunuch who had been studying the scriptures. And they, verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is what? Desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. The chief accountant of the whole kingdom was in the desert that day. And man, he needed help. He had been looking, he had had a copy of the scriptures and was wondering, what does this mean? Who's this talking about? And by God's grace, the Holy Spirit led Philip there to meet him. And he began to preach. The Bible says he began to preach unto him Jesus. And the man got saved. He put his faith in Christ. And here in chapter number 8 of Acts chapter 8, we see one of the clearest pictures of believer's baptism spelled out for us in the Bible. That man was saved and baptized when everything else looked lifeless. When it looked like there was nothing out there. And a man was in need, and God met with him. Turn with me, if you would, Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul, who becomes a very important figure in the New Testament, God used him to record letters to the churches, which are now part of the Word of God for us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He shared what we need to know. Galatians chapter 1 here talks about part of his testimony. He received Christ as Savior, and he mentions it many times. In the book of Acts, it talks about him telling his testimony. But let's take a look here for just a moment. let me start with verse number 15. In Galatians chapter 1, Galatians chapter 1. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. On the road, the Bible tells us, Jesus met him. He received Christ as Savior, put his faith in him, later followed him again in believer's baptism, and now he begins to preach the Lord Jesus, but he needed time with God. What did he do? Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Who was teaching him there in Arabia in the desert? Well, God for sure. God for sure. Now, I'm sure there's places in the desert you could still learn great things, but God has other places for us to learn of him. But for the Apostle Paul, and in a special relationship God had with him, he wanted to set him aside in the desert to be taught what he needed to know. My point is this: whatever stage you're in life right now, it seems like things aren't necessarily going forward or backward. Would you ask the Lord, am I in a time where I'm in the desert? If so, would you help me, first of all, revive my soul, renew my walk, show me what I need to do. You've done so many great things. The Bible tells us a revived faith can be found there, and the desert recalls God's instruction if we take time to remember him. We're coming up on Thanksgiving. Amen. We're coming up on Thanksgiving. And as we begin next week, we'll be looking at thoughts about that and what Scripture tells us about Thanksgiving and giving thanks to the Lord. But take a time of thanks to the Lord. Take a prayer of thanks. Amen? A prayer of thanks. Have you ever done that? Where all you do is thank God. You don't ask him for anything. You don't tell him anything. You just thank him. You know, sometimes we get so caught up in our prayers, we like to tell God what he already knows. And God says, I already know that. What I need you to know is that I've done this for you, and I've done this for you. Why don't you just say thank you? Why don't you just respond to me? God says he wants to give you a renewed and revived faith in him. Number three, let's go back to Exodus. Exodus chapter 3 again, please. Take a look at verse number 7 with me, please. Verse number 7. Verses 7 to verse number 10 is what we want to look at here. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Let me share with you this third thought. A clear focus can be found in the desert. A clear focus on what to do, where to go, can be found in the desert. Growing faith in God is always followed by obedience to God. All right, Lord, this is what you want me to do. I'm going to go do it. Look at verse number 10 again. He says this, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. If we read the rest of the chapter and then the next chapter after that, we'll find that Moses, yeah, he was willing to do that, but he had some conditions. He had some conditions. Remember what he told God about about the way he talked? He said, I fumble over my words, Lord. I don't know if I can do it. And what did God say? Haven't I made the mouth of the animals and so forth? Haven't I made the dumb to speak and so forth? Yeah, I can help you and so forth. And Moses had all these conditions, but yet he was willing to go. Something to consider. And in that time, while he was still here in the desert, the backside, God began to show him one by one, here's how I can provide for that. Here's how I can take care of that. Here's how you need to stop worrying about that. And just let me be in control. Just let me lead and guide. A clear focus can be found. Would you turn with me to John chapter 14? John 14. God has a focus for us, and following that focus, he has something for us to do, to obey him. John 14 and verse 15. John 14, and let's read verse number 12, verses 12 to verse number 15. Would you read those verses with me? This is Jesus speaking, verses 12 to verse 15. Let's read it together, please. Let's begin. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. God wants you to have the power, the ability, the strength, someone to look to for resources, but he says, but remember, remember, you need to do it out of love and follow what I say. If you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, at the end of that great chapter about the fruit of the Spirit, he says this in verse 25, the Apostle Paul, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk. A clear focus can be found in the desert. Are you in a time of transition right now? One writer says, you cannot discover new oceans unless you have the courage to lose sight of the shore. Hudson Taylor said this, great man of faith and missionary. Unless there is an element of risk in our exploits for God, there is no need for faith. Wow. You know, on the backside of the desert, wherever you might be today, if you're not there yet, praise the Lord. But if God has something waiting for you and you want to know what it is, God says, why don't you come and meet with me? Come and meet with me. First of all, meet with me if you have the need for my son, for Jesus Christ. Become a part and have a new family. Secondly, if you know Christ, as you live in him, seek to have that renewal every day. Seek to have that. Did you know you could renew it today? Renew. Meet with God today. If you haven't, personally, I encourage you to do it. Take time to be with Jesus today. It's a blessing to be in God's house. Amen? Amen. It's a blessing to be here together and sing and enjoy the fellowship. But the best fellowship you can get today is with God himself, meeting with him. And in that place, at that time, God has a direction for you to go. A task, a ministry, or just something to do. Maybe there's something going on in family that he says, you know, I'm tapping on your shoulder to help with this. I'm using you to help reach out and meet the needs that are going on. Whatever it might be, maybe at work, wherever the Lord has you, would you ask him? Would you ask him? Father, where do you want me to be in this time of transition in the desert place? Heavenly Father, I pray you would show us what you see in our own hearts. Lord, we need your help. We need your help because we don't see everything. You have the perspective of heaven. And I ask God, help us to submit to that even today. Perhaps a need of salvation is with us listening. Perhaps a need of a Christian just simply to get back on the walk, Lord, back on the path that you've called for us to do. Perhaps something big, a big task, and you want to prepare us for it. Whatever it is, Lord, would you help us to be willing to submit to that. Pray you to get the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, please. If you're here this morning and you're able, would you stand with me with heads bowed and eyes closed? No one looking around. Just want to ask, is this a time, give a time to respond to what God has to say. Whatever your need is this morning, God says, it needs to start by coming to me. First thing that the Bible tells us about when God was the burning bush there, Moses saw it, he turned and went to see it. He turned and went to hear the voice of God. Is that something you need to start to do right now? I'm going to ask the organ to play. The song we'll sing, and when she begins to play, would you respond? You can respond right where you're at. Lord, here I am. Would you show me what needs to be done? I submit to you as she begins to play.